You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome to the only six-star radio show on planet Earth. This is World Class Radio. I am your co-host, Jordan the Body Fox, and with me, as always, the co-host, the man with the plan, the great black hype, Mr. Ray Cash. Ray, what's up, bro?
What's happening, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. So we just got in touch about maybe 4 minutes before we got on the show, and we're like wiping the sleep out of our eyes, and the first thing we start talking about is All In. So we both started getting a little heated talking about it, and I was like, bro, let's just go on air. We're ready to go. So you was like, let's do it. So here we are. So the two big announcements that came out yesterday is, number one, Rey Mysterio has been booked for All In. And number two, which is going to be the first thing that we're talking about, is that the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship is going to be defended at All In against Cody, right? Am I right about that part?
Yeah, it is confirmed.
What's up, man?
To be fair, Jordan, I think the biggest news of the weekend is that they sold out in an hour.
Oh, yeah. Why didn't I even
mention
that?
That's kind of the biggest part of the thing. I don't think anything's more important than that situation.
True story.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that first. You're totally right. So, something that we also talked about before the show, just for a minute, and you said that you had read multiple different lengths of time that it took to sell out, none of them being long, but
it's less than an hour.
So you,
I could care less if it was 15 minutes, 40. It was less than an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's what we're going with, is less than an hour. I know Cody Rhodes said something like 29 minutes, and then someone else said something else, but we know for sure it's pretty much all but guaranteed that it was less than an hour, so that's what we're going to go with, right? So I don't know. I'm sure you remember this, Ray, but let's talk about this real quick. So if we back up to a few months ago when all this came about and some people were saying, hey, you know, Ring of Honor's this, Ring of Honor's that, they're cool. They draw some money, but they ain't drawing no big 10,000-seat houses like WWE does. And
right.
Cody and the Young Bucks said, hey, give us 90 days to build to it. We'll sell out a 10,000-seat arena.
Well,
and I'll be gosh danged if they did. I'm trying not to cuss today because my boy Mason and Mr. Bagshaw are both listening today. They shot in some questions for us on our mailbag show that we're going to be doing a little bit later today. So I'm going to try to keep my cussing to an absolute minimum, my man.
What's going on, guys?
Y'all doing all right?
So to be completely accurate, it started off as a bet with Dave Meltzer.
Somebody
asked Dave Meltzer on Twitter, could anybody besides WWE run a 10,000 plus seat house in America? And he said, no, I doubt it. And Cody said, I'll take that bet.
Gotcha.
Which is how the whole thing started. So it's a tremendous achievement. I am skeptical, but I am one that believes people at their word. So if someone, as long as I don't see some extra seats being released, then I believe that they sold out. And that's a hell of an achievement.
Absolutely.
More power to them. I'm happy for them. I have some issues with a lot of the takes about the situation. But in terms of just the show, couldn't be happy for those guys.
Absolutely. Me and our friend James Boyd from One Nation Live, One Nation Radio, we were talking in our Social Suplex Podcast Network private group chat that all of us have. And he said that he read some rumblings online about there being people out there saying, oh, well, you know, scalpers bought a bunch of these tickets. And, you know, yada, yada, yada. And me and James both agreed. We're like, well, who gives a crap if scalpers are the ones that bought a bunch of the tickets? Because if scalpers are spending their money to buy these tickets and to resell them, then that shows that there's obviously a market for these tickets out there. Now, if there was 6,000 tickets given to radio stations for promotion and stuff, then I'd be like, you know what I mean?
Here's the issue with scalpers, and here's why it's relevant. This is why it's relevant. Because this isn't a show predicated on making money. This is a show predicated on breaking barriers, right?
Okay.
So if let's just say if scalpers bought 20% of the tickets, that's 1/5 of the house, right? And it's not, even if it was scalpers, it's nowhere near that number, at least from what's been reported.
Okay.
But I'm just being hypothetical here, okay? If scalpers bought 1/5 of the house, then what that means is that, yes, it's sold out in paper, but the show might not be sold out because those scalpers aren't going to go to the show. And they're marking up the prices like crazy. Some of the prices were like $2,000 for, like, you know, second level seats.
Really?
Yeah. So in that case, you're skewing, not only are you skewing the numbers, but then you're screwing fans out of going who actually want to go. So it is relevant.
Gotcha.
It is fairly relevant, but it has to be enough people for it to be relevant. And I don't think it's enough people for it to be relevant, because I think as of last night, there was like 300 plus tickets on StubHub. And I didn't see any other reports or go to any other sites like, you know, Flash Seats or any other resale sites, but just StubHub. So that's out of 10,000 supposed seats. That's nothing. So it's a relevant conversation, but I don't think it's relevant to this. Because, and then one thing that was positive and negative about that was they didn't go through Ticketmaster. They didn't go through a second party thing. They went straight through the venues. They went to the venues ticketing site or whatever it is.
Gotcha.
So they were able to kind of, I guess, possibly control it a little more. But I heard it was held about tickets. Like, the site wasn't, I don't say it wasn't working, but the site was freezing a lot because I guess so much traffic. Everybody trying to buy at once. Like, I don't know if you ever tried to buy, you ever been to WrestleMania? You ever tried to buy WrestleMania tickets?
No, I never have.
If you ever tried, you realize how hard it is. It is so hard to get what you want because you have thousands of people at the same time trying to buy. And then most people aren't going to go to a show by themselves. So you're getting 2, 3, 4, 5 tickets. You know?
Right.
But no, it's a relevant conversation. I just don't think it's relevant to this conversation.
Gotcha. Albert. That's a valid point, man. That's a valid point. I think I was looking at that, you know, very much just on the surface. And
which is what fans supposed to look at, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and but digging a little deeper, I do see, I mean, you have a totally valid point there. It's something that we will probably talk about again leading up to the show. When we see, you know, if we're able to get any reports on how quick scalpers getting rid of these tickets, how much they're selling them for, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. So it'll be something that we'll definitely be talking about again on the show in the future. Go ahead.
I just want to put a bow on that. This isn't a situation like WWE where the goal is to make money. They've already said they don't care about the money they make. They just want to prove that they could do it first.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha.
So if, with my hypothetical scenario, if they show up to the show and they know they sold out in terms of ticket sales, but there's a noticeable part of the crowd absent, that's not a win.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Which
I
is
mean,
the whole point.
Yeah. For this to be seen as a success, it needs to be filled to the rafters. It needs to look like WCW Nitro circa 1997.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Next thing on the list, which is what I was saying was the most important thing of all these announcements that came out, when it obviously was a fairly distant second considering that they've sold out. but that is that the NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance World's Heavyweight Championship, is being defended against Cody at the All In Show in September in Chicago. Right now, the NWA, for most of you that probably don't know and don't care, the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion right now is Nick Aldis, a.k.a. Well, Magnus, a.k.a. Yes. Mickey James's husband.
Yes.
And he, as most of, well, I don't know if people know or not, so we'll just give a quick rundown. Billy Corgan, who's the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins, one of the better bands of the 90s, one of the better bands of my generation, bought the NWA. I don't know how much he spent or anything, and really there isn't, I don't understand much of what he bought besides the title.
Well, okay, so the NWA was never one promotion.
Right.
The NWA was an envelope of promotions.
Yeah, it was a collection of territories. At one time, 22 different NWA territories.
And it's still similar to that. It's still under that vein where they have multiple territories, which is why the champion defends it in different places. But they're working out of their main tour, which is Championship Wrestling in Hollywood.
Gotcha. Quick note, little sidebar here. I just thought this was really cool whenever I just thought about it right before we came on air, or I guess right after we went on air. But when Nick Aldis is on what he calls the Aldis Crusade right now, and that is going around the world like the old NWA champion of the 70s and 80s, like the Harley Races and the Ric Flairs, going around and defending it every single night all over the place. And he went and defended it for the first time ever, the first time the NWA title has ever been defended in the Republic of China, the People's Republic of China. And he defended it against Colt Cabana. And I worked with Colt Cabana on his second show after he got back from China. So I was giving him a ride to the show. It was just me and him. Picked him up at his hotel, and we had about a 25-30 minute drive to downtown Dallas to the show we were working that night. And I actually got to talk to him about Nick Aldis, about the show and everything like that. And it was a personal conversation, so I'm not going to share everything that he said about everything. But anyway, it was just really cool that... you know, and I wasn't meaning for that to be a plug to myself or anything like that. But
it
just,
definitely was. It definitely was a plug.
I really didn't mean that. I'm just kind of thinking out loud that was so cool that, you know, my job kind of afforded me the opportunity to hang out with freaking Colt Cabana. You know what I mean? Right after he tried to become a 3-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion. But if you can go out and see, it's hard to get a copy of this DVD, but if you can go out and see the DVD, the documentary, Seven Levels of Hate. It's a documentary done by Adam Pearce, I think is who did the documentary. And
Scrap Daddy.
Say what?
Scrap Daddy.
Yeah. And it's about Colt Cabana, and it's about how the NWA pretty much stripped him of the title. They pretty much forced him to drop the title, and over some backroom politics. And if you watch that documentary, you can pretty much see why no one gives a crap about the NWA World Heavyweight title. And I truly believe that Billy Corgan is trying to change that, but only time will tell. He has no reservations about how long it's going to take. He's very open about the fact that he's got a 20-year plan. And I'll be honest, like, right now, I've been watching the 10 Pounds of Gold documentary on the NWA YouTube channel, and I know Kelsey from Super Kicking It with Kelsey has also mentioned it on Two Face Wrestling, which is her podcast, wrestling podcast. I'm very... very excited to see if they can make that NWA title mean something in the next 20 years, because that's only going to make the wrestling company or the wrestling business that much more vibrant if we have multiple big world titles that mean something. Wouldn't you agree, Ray?
Yes. So the problem isn't the title. The problem is promotion.
Right.
So
right.
I first and foremost, it's very ambitious to take a championship that's essentially been dead for since TNA had it.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, really, wasn't it dead 7 years before Shane Douglas threw it down? That's what he's, remember when he threw it down in the early 90s or mid 90s?
Well, it's had new, it, well, okay, so it's been dead since both of those moments, but it's been irrelevant probably since before that.
I got you. I think you're right. Like 2004-ish when Jeff Jarrett had it in TNA, I mean, it kind of was kind of brought back to a certain level. I do agree with you.
TNA was a weekly product.
Right.
TNA, it had some prestige for a championship comes from being defended in a place where people can see it. That's why the WWE Championship is the most prestigious in the world, because it's the most readily available to be seen. Yep. Which is why fans now think that Okada's IWGP Heavyweight Championship is more prestigious than even WWE's. Because it, not only can it be seen, but if a tree falls in the forest, can you hear it, right? So, let me use PWG for example. And this is not a diss to PWG because they have a great product. But I don't know who the champion is, but let's just say it's Keith Lee, because I know he was champion for a while ago, right?
Right.
Just hypothetically speaking, nobody watches the shows because they're not televised. They sell out every show. They do great DVD sales, but it's not televised. So how prestigious can that title be when only a small number of people have a chance to see it? You know what I mean?
It's a good point.
So it's kind of the same deal with the NWA. So the prestige won't come until they decide, all right, we're doing what we're doing. This is cool. People know Magnus, Nick Aldis, whatever you want to call him. People know NWA is back. Now let's build a promotion. Until they do that, I don't care. I could care less. I have no interest whatsoever in anything they're doing until they decide to say, I'm going to build a promotion, and you can watch us at such and such and such. I don't care. And I'm sorry. I hate to sound so matter-of-fact about it. That doesn't mean I'm not going to pay attention to what they're doing, but I'm not going to watch. I have no interest. I have no reason to. Because, essentially, you just got a guy wearing what could be considered, forgive me for being disrespectful, but what could be considered a prop belt at his matches when he goes at other indies. What's the difference between Nick Aldis and a guy like James Ellsworth and his Intercontinental title? There's no difference. Because there's no promotion to give that title prestige.
Yeah, and I'm not going to disagree with you on that. And when I said earlier, you know, I truly believe that Billy Corgan is trying to make that title more prestigious, and he's got a 20-year plan.
Work with what he's trying to do. Yes.
Yeah, but I did forget about the fact that the first title defense of Nick Aldis, I'm pretty sure it was the very first, was James Ellsworth.
Yep.
And so I forget about that. So
I don't have a problem with that, by the way, because that's relevance.
That's true. I mean, I love James Ellsworth. I love James Ellsworth now that I don't see him every day on WWE. I love the opportunity. You know, he sees the opportunity.
Sure.
I mean, he's not too different than what me and you are doing with this show. You know what I mean? We're having all these opportunities thrown at us, and we're not. Why would we turn them down? You know what I'm saying?
Think about this.
And why would James Ellsworth turn his opportunities down? So I get that.
Think about this, though. The guy who this all started with, when Billy Corgan bought the NWA and set the 20-year plan and all this, was Tim Storm. Tell me when you've heard of him before.
I've known Tim Storm, but, you know, just because he lives 2 hours from me, and I've been to...
Sure, you're in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I've been to half a dozen of his shows. He books a Texoma show over here that I take my son to. But, I know what you mean.
None of this is shade or attacking anybody or dissing anybody. I'm just trying to speak facts as to why we say we don't care about the NWA. It's not that they're not trying. It's just that Tim Storm, God bless him, is a good wrestler. I've seen him wrestle before, actually. But nobody knew who that guy was nationally.
Right. Yeah. You know?
You're trying to build a championship. Well, you're trying to rebuild a championship, but for a good portion of the watching audience, it's essentially being built, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have a home promotion for these guys to be seen every week. They don't have a TV show. They got a YouTube channel that updates stuff every now and then, and it only updates the matches of the champion. So you don't know who. There's no new stars being built because you're not putting any stars, and you're not putting on shows as a promotion. You're saying I'm gonna put this belt on this show, which is only serving the needs of the champion, because Nick Aldis is looking good. The title isn't looking good, in my opinion, because it's not an NWA branded show.
Right.
Right. If AJ Styles right now were to go defend his championship at Ring of Honor and has a great match, that doesn't make the WWE Championship look good. It makes AJ look good because it's not a WWE.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the WWN and Evolve Championships were defended at in WrestleMania weekend at Access, right?
Right.
And the winners, the champions, beat the WWE guys. The championship didn't look good. Those guys beating WWE guys looked good. And the company being able to defend their championships on the biggest company stage looked good. But I don't think the prestige of the championships went up because it wasn't in their promotion. And maybe I'm on my own about this. And I accept that if I am. But Nick Aldis, Billy Corgan, I appreciate what y'all are trying to do. I appreciate trying to build something, trying to build back the glory of the NWA and trying to do something different, great. But until you decide to say this is our promotion, you can catch us. It could be even be on YouTube, but you can catch us every week, such and such and such. Here's our roster. This is our roster. Some guys can go to other companies, but they're our roster. I have no interest.
What if, let me play devil's advocate for a second, and I'm gonna ask you a question. What if, and I'm not saying, I'm going to preface this by saying I have no idea if this is their plan or anything like that. This is just something that I thought of that I think might be pretty cool if they went this route. What if, instead of having an entire promotion and stuff like that for cost-saving measures and to do something truly unique, they either have a web series or a TV series where it's not about a promotion. It's about one man and his belt, Nick Aldis and his NWA title. And he's going from indie show. Yeah, kind of what they're doing right now, except it would be a more regular, you'd get a match a week instead of a match, you know, every 2 or 3 weeks. You know what I mean? You'd get, say they have an hour-long show once a week and you get 30, 35 minutes of storyline and stuff like that, and then you get the match. And, like, will he be able to hold on to his title and yada, yada, yada. And they have this series, and it's, you know, he's defending his title, trying to get to All In and All In. It's just a one-man show in his title. And then they get to All In, and boom, he drops the title to Cody Rhodes, and then now the show is about Cody. And then every once a week, you'll get a 5 or 10 minute segment of Nick Aldis wrestling at some indie show, trying to work his way back up to the number one contender slot to get his NWA title back. Now that would be a cool show, don't you think?
It would be, as long as it was the NWA title.
Oh, you don't think it would be? Oh, you think they would need a new title for it?
Because it's too established in the minds of too many wrestling fans that it is a promotional championship.
I got you. Okay.
So if you create a new title for that purpose, it doesn't even have to be, in that case, it doesn't have to be with the promotion, because it could, essentially you're saying the title that James, essentially what you're saying is the title James Ellsworth has created for himself.
Right.
The Intergender Wrestling Championship. If he had an hour-long documentary about him trying to defend it, that's what you're saying. That's basically the premise. Because, and it worked for James Ellsworth, because that title has no bearing on anybody else. Title has no bearing on any promotion. It's not trying to carry anything other than the person who holds the belt.
Right.
So hey, yes, I would be so interested in that, as long as it wasn't associated with promotion.
I got you. Has anyone seen this intergender title that James Ellsworth has had made?
The actual championship?
Yeah, I am, because I've heard people talk about it, but I have not actually seen a match that he is in. Defending this title, do what now?
I haven't seen any of the matches, but I've seen the title, and the title is actually a decent looking title.
Really? If anyone out there listening, any of the listeners, if y'all want to tweet us a picture of that title, that would be really freaking cool, guys. You can tweet Ray at It's Ray Cash. You can tweet the show at World Class Daily. That's World Class Daily. or you can tweet me at FoxThePodcaster. Next on the old agenda here, Rey Mysterio showing up at All In. Do you know any of the details? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Hold on. So we got to talk about the NWA, but we forgot to talk about what's the most relevant part about that.
Uh-oh. Okay, go ahead.
So I'm all for the NWA title being defended at All In.
Okay.
That's the type of show that they're trying that they would want to defend it at, because it is essentially a super indie show.
Okay.
Right. The problem I have with that is that Cody is wrestling for it. And I have that problem for two reasons. Number one, Cody is one of the biggest names in independent wrestling. One of the biggest names outside in wrestling outside of WWE right now, right?
I'd agree.
Why would he put himself in a match that people don't want to see at a show he's self-financing, right? Which leads to the second point. And now this might be a bit controversial. I apologize to anybody in advance if I'm offending them. But I really wish Cody would get over his obsession with trying to relive and become his dad, because it seems like so much he's done since he left WWE has been in, I wouldn't even say in respect to, but in emulation of his father. And now, mind you, I understand that's that man's dad, and not only were they super close, but Dusty was one of the greatest of all time.
Right.
One of the five most influential of all time. So I'm not trying to say he shouldn't do that, but the whole purpose of this show was from a bet from Dave Meltzer, and Cody saw the opportunity to make his own Starrcade, like Dusty did in NWA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why the fan expo before is called Starrcast with two R's. That's on purpose, right? That's for a reason. But the only reason Cody, this is my opinion, he hasn't told me, he ain't talked to nobody, but it's pretty clear in my opinion. The only reason he wants to wrestle for the NWA Championship is because that's what his dad was. That's the title his dad held. So it'd be a nice little bookend, a nice little bow for Cody, the son of a plumber. Yes, would wrestle for that championship that his dad essentially made famous at his own version of his dad's super show. Like, it's cute, but the whole point of All In was supposed to be about the fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be about proving the naysayers wrong, proving that there is a viable option outside of WWE, and giving the fans something special. That's the whole point of this, right? There's nothing special about Cody wrestling Nick Aldis. I'm sorry, and that's my opinion, and people are gonna disagree with that. I accept that. I accept that this is just me saying this. This is just rants, just Ray. I accept that. I'm cool with that, but Cody versus Flip Gordon, Cody versus Kenny Part 2, Cody versus anybody would be a bigger draw for the show. I'm not even going to say the word draw, because I don't care about the money. Would be a bigger attraction for the show. Sure, fans are gonna eat whatever they're fed at the show, because they've accepted that it's different. It's not WWE, and this is a moment. Whatever they get, it could be me versus you in the main event. They're going to accept it because it's of what the situation is. But you should want to give them what they want. There's no, I don't know anybody jonesing for Cody to wrestle for the NWA Championship. I'm sorry.
What if, let me play devil's advocate here with you. So what if they are looking at trying to get a world title on the indie scene built up? And they decided that the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, because of all that lineage it has, is the title that they want to make prestige, want to bring prestige to, and, you know, to carry it around the U.S. and into Japan and all this and all that, to have a world title on the indie scene that people can strive for. What would you say to that? I'm not, and when I say I'm playing devil's advocate, this is just me messing around in my own head. This is not anything I've read or anything like that. What would you say to that?
Good for them. doesn't mean that that Cody should wrestle him for it.
Gotcha.
Cody signed to two promotions right now, the two biggest promotions outside of WWE right now. He shouldn't be worried about the NWA, or at least wrestling for the NWA championship. Put it on the card. It deserves to be on the card. Absolutely. That's a showcase in its own right. That's a showcase. Just to have it on the card. Right?
Gotcha.
I guarantee you, I'm guaranteeing you, 90% of the wrestling public that watches television have not seen Nick Aldis since TNA.
Okay, I got one for you. Yeah. I agree. What if Billy Corgan came in and said, I'll throw in $250K on top of everything y'all make?
Shouldn't matter.
To feature...
Shouldn't matter. Because if that's the case, then you're lying to us. Because the whole purpose about all of this was, again, I'm trying to keep people at their word, Jordan.
I got you.
Forgive me for being naive. Because I could be... I'm very, very, very open with the fact that I could be naive, my nose be wide open on this. But I take people at their word. And the whole, from the very beginning, Cody, Nick, and Matt Jackson have said very, very clearly, this is not about money. We don't care about money. We don't want to take any sponsors because we don't want to take away from the purity of the show. We're not going to put it on pay-per-view because we want to keep the show special for the people coming. So all these other revenues for money, but you're going to take money from the NWA? It just doesn't make sense to me.
It's true. Good point.
Because you could be getting millions right now.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point, yeah. If,
take if a it handful was, of dollars? No.
If it was about money, yeah, they would put it on pay-per-view. Or, you know, do something like, we'll agree to pay-per-view if it sells out, or, you know, something like that. So, yeah, you're right.
And those statements that Cody made right there about, I don't want to put it on pay-per-view, and I don't want sponsorship, is the only thing that made me interested in the show.
Gotcha.
I respect what it means to fans. They don't mean nothing to me. I'm a WWE fan. Or it's going to be a WWE fan. So yeah, it's cool, but that don't mean nothing to me personally. I respect what it means to other people. But now, you're taking a real bold stance and saying, I'm putting myself on the line. Because I could easily make some money off of this. I'd rather lose money. But prove my point. Then you have me interested.
What if you know, actually, I can't think of another what if, because most scenarios that I keep popping in my head are coming back to you know, him wanting to win. I mean, basically the only thing I can think of is that either on paper, in promotion and stuff, which doesn't really matter now that it's sold out, but you know, pretty much, I think the only thing would just be, you know, for them to say, hey, we're closing out the night with a world title match. That's the only thing I can think of.
But Okada's going to show.
I know. I'm just saying.
Doug Castle's probably going to be on the show, so you have two championships.
Right. But I'm saying to close out the night, because I figure Cody will be in the main event. You know what I mean?
Okay. If that's the case, then and with everything you said about the show, everything you've built up, why don't you create an all-in championship?
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm just rebutting it, because your devil's advocate points are valid points on the level until you think about them. Right? Because if all of this is about ownership and proving people wrong, right, then why would you big up another company? Create your own. Which will give people a reason to expect a second all-in show.
Yeah, I don't know about creating a whole new title just for All In, because I figure this will probably be a yearly event. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, it could be a ceremonial title like the Greatest Royal Rumble Championship. You know what I mean? Unless it be defended every week or every month, it could be only defended at All Ins. I'm just saying, if you want to commemorate with a special title that's not Ring of Honor, IWGP, why would it be NWA?
I mean, the only thing I can think of is just the, you know, the prestige and the history of you know, that NWA World Heavyweight Championship. That's the only thing I can think of. You know what I mean?
Sure, and you're not wrong, but it's not prestigious. It was prestigious 30 years ago.
Maybe they look at it as a challenge. You know, I mean, they took on this challenge to sell 10,000, right?
That's very fair. Maybe there's a challenge to them. Maybe I don't know. That makes sense to me. And, right. Well, okay. The only thing that makes sense to me, if you were talking about playing devil's advocates, I know we got a lot of stuff we want to talk about. I'm sorry to make this such a long conversation.
Oh, bro, you got all day, man. The
only thing that would make sense to me, that would make me say, all right, y'all, I got you. Y'all got me now. Is if Flip Gordon somehow won the championship from Nick Aldis. That way, Flip isn't all in. Cody's been adamant he's never going to be all in. But Billy Corgan already signed the deal, quote unquote, that the NWA championship will be defended. So if Flip Gordon's the champion, Cody can't say he can't be there. That would be the only thing that would make me say, all right, I got you. But I don't see Flip Gordon winning the championship. We got 4 months. Maybe something will change.
Yeah, maybe so. You want to hear a quick question? Quick story about Flip Gordon?
Yeah.
So at WrestleCon, the CEO, owner and CEO, Jerry Bostick, the owner and CEO of World Class Revolution Pro Wrestling, he and our former revolutionary champion, Chandler Hopkins, were at WrestleCon signing autographs and stuff. And someone asked Chandler for a picture, so he's like, heck yeah, man, let me grab my title. And so he went to go throw his title over his shoulder. Title's not on the table anymore. So he's like looking around, thinking a fan stole it or something. Flip Gordon was standing around the corner laughing. Flip Gordon had played a joke on him. I just thought that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, when I asked Chandler about it, because he had tweeted about it, and so the next time I seen him at a show... this has been, you know, a month or more ago now. He told me about it. He said him and Flip Gordon have worked together several times on the indie scenes, and he said Flip's a real cool guy. So I really like this gimmick they're working. You know, Flip will never be all in, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, because anybody that's interested in the show, they're wondering, you know, how they're going to get Flip on there. I mean, even us who are not following... All In, you and I, who are not following All In just extremely closely, even we know about the storyline. Is Flip going to be there?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So I think they're doing something really special with the whole Flip thing. I think that's pretty cool.
And for the record, another reason why I don't think that Flip is going to be when the NXT, when the NWA World Champion, World's Championship, is because there was kind of an allusion to Flip maybe wrestling Marty Scurll.
At All In. Gotcha.
Because like I told you, Flip was, he was either dressed as Marty or dressed as, I didn't watch it, but I read the reports, and I think he was either dressed as Marty or he was dressed as a fan that looked like Marty or something. And then Marty and Hangman beat him up a bit, put him to a table, and then he got dragged out. So if that's the case, then... Flip and Marty have no beef.
Right.
You've been shooting Being the Elite. You've done 101 episodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think that they put a new episode out just recently, yes. But it was let's go with 100 before whatever new stuff they've done. But 100 episodes. Flip's been in like the last 30 of them. So he's very established in you guys' world. And ain't never had no beef with Marty. I just don't get it.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows, man? Kayfabe. Is Kayfabe alive? Is Kayfabe dead? Who knows?
You right? I have no idea. We shall see. But yes.
Yeah, we shall see. You're right. That's probably the truest words we've talked so far.
the most
for sure words we've seen we've heard so far. I gotta believe that they're gonna be recording this All In to somehow release at a later date. Wouldn't you agree?
No, I don't think so.
Really? No camera
if
crew.
If you want to have, there's two reasons why you wouldn't do a camera crew. Number one, that shit costs money. I'm sorry, that stuff costs money.
Right.
I apologize, Mason. Forgive me. I've been trying hard. But that stuff costs money.
Right.
Number one. Number two, if you're really gonna go all in, pardon the pun, just let it be for the fans. Let it be special for the 10,000 that's there.
Yeah.
If it's as big a deal as you're trying to make it, and it's not about publicity, it's not about money, it's strictly about the art of wrestling and proving people wrong, let it be for fans.
Yeah.
I'd respect that so much more and them saying last minute, well, you know, we want to let the masses see it. No, you don't want to let the masses see it. You want to make that money off of those streams. Because if you, I guess at this point, if you were going to do the, if you were going to record it, then you might as well have wouldn't just go ahead and made it available from the very beginning. But since you've been this adamant for this long, go ahead and go all in with it.
Yeah.
Pardon.
No pun intended. Final thing about All In before we get to the mailbag. Rey Mysterio. Any idea? Rey Mysterio is All In, is what I should have said. Have you read anything about what he's going to be doing at the show? I obviously figured that he's working in the ring. Do you know if he's working? Do you know who he's working against?
There's no match that is set or rumored other than Cody versus the NWA champion.
Gotcha.
But what's shocking to me about this is, and big ups to Ray, because Ray, much like Jericho, is intrigued by what the New Japan guys are doing. Ray is wrestling a match at Dominion, which is New Japan SummerSlam next month. So Ray's definitely interested in what they're doing. Ray was actually supposed to wrestle Will Ospreay at the Long Beach shows before Mania, but he tore his bicep. But the shocking thing to me personally is that Ray had a deal signed and ready to go with WWE, but he tore his bicep, so he couldn't pass the physical. So I figured once he got healed, he'd go back, go ahead and finish that thing, get that money, and you know, get that platform. But apparently, he wants to finish and keep doing some indie stuff. More power to him. I ain't mad at him. He's old, respected, and established enough to be at this point do what he wants.
Right. I kind of assumed that he had a one match deal signed with New Japan, and when that fell through, the match with Will Ospreay fell through because of his injury. I wonder if him just being a man of his word just said, hey, let's honor that and push it back to when I'm healthy, and then I'll jump to WWE. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just me thinking, you know, out loud. No, you know what I mean?
That makes sense, but then that would be the match at Dominion next month. They ain't got nothing to do with All In, because if that was the case then, and to WWE's credit, WWE has never, I won't say never, this new regime of WWE in the past few years, since they've been indie-centric, I'll say, I can't remember them telling a person who they've signed who had remaining dates they can't finish them.
Yeah, they've always been very adamant about, hey, finish your stuff and then come see us.
So if that's the case, then they could sign him, finish the Dominion match, do what you got to do. We get that, respect that. But why would you set it for All In 4 months ago? 4 months later, if you were signed with WWE.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. No idea.
So that just means he's going to stay indie for a while, which is fine. It's shocking to me that you had that deal already ready to go. And the only reason you didn't sign it was because your bicep. And then now your bicep right, and you're not going. It's interesting.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, let's take a quick break. Let's pause for the cause, and then we will get right into the mailbag, all right? So everybody out there listening, you're going to hear a quick wrestling bell, and we'll be right back at it. All right, guys and gals, and we are back. So this is our first ever mailbag episode. Monday mailbag, I believe, is what we're going to call it. We tweeted out a request for everyone to send us in some questions. And actually, the tweet, I tagged a bunch of fellow podcasts in the tweet because I thought for the first episode, I didn't know if a bunch of our listeners would want to take, be a part of it. I didn't know how that would work. So we did get a lot of questions from fans. But we also got some questions from some podcasts and stuff like that. So it's just all going to be kind of mixed in. I'll give everyone a shout out as I read the questions. We'll try to get to as many as we can. If you're ready to go, Ray, then I will start us off.
Let's do it.
All right. Real quick, guys, if you have a question for us, you can tweet us at any time. Ray is at It's Ray Cash. The show is at World Class Daily. That's World Class Daily. And I am at Fox the Podcaster, and we will start it off with Anthony Suter wants to know, if you could start podcasting again from the beginning, what would you change in your approach to it? Do you want to go first, Ray?
Definitely. So what I would say is, for me, when I started podcasting, my biggest issue was laziness. And what I mean by that is, Carl and I, my partner at the Outsider's Edge, we talked about podcasting 3 years before we did it. And it was a bit of intimidation about the medium. And when we finally did jump into it, we weren't researched at all. We just jumped into it. And to our credit, we did announce we were going to do the podcast 6 months before we did it, or a few months before we did it. So we had time to at least get used to each other and have chemistry. But in terms of the medium, no. I'm just now getting to the point a year and a half later where I'm understanding the medium and getting used to editing correctly and using other mediums of marketing. So definitely just being aware of the medium, man. It's you know, when you're listening to this, or you just listen to a podcast, you think it's just dudes sitting down on the mic talking, but it's so much more. And the talking part is the easy part, but everything else about it is pretty difficult. It's something that you have to get used to. So yeah, that's probably it for me.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you just said in there, that a lot of people think that, like when people ask me what I do for a living, I'm like, well, you know, I host an internet radio show called World Class Radio. They're like, oh yeah, you know, I have a cousin that's a podcaster, you know, and he sits around every once in a while and talks into his microphone and stuff. And I'm just like, well, man, you know, all due respect, that's not all that it is, you know. I've said on this show a million times, you know, I get up at, you know, between 4 and 4:15 every single morning, because I am not, as smart in when it comes to the wrestling business as a lot of people, and that includes Ray. Like Ray, I've spoke with Ray, friend of the show, Mike Moore. I've spoke to, you know, these two guys, and Ray, you know, basically every day for the last couple of month and a half, something like that, 2 months now, maybe.
2 months, yeah.
Yeah, and these guys are highly intelligent in the wrestling business, and I have to do a little bit of studying every single day, 5 days a week. So I think, you know, and I have to get up at 4 a.m. to do that, so I know what I'm talking about. I know numbers, statistics, and stuff like that. So if I could change one thing, if I could start podcasting over from the beginning, what I would change is, I would have started studying the wrestling world a long time before I started podcasting, if that makes sense. If I would have started doing my research 2 years before I started the show, I could, you know what I mean? I could get up an hour before the show instead of, you know, three hours and 15 minutes beforehand. But hey, you live and learn, you know what I mean? I mean, so that's a good question. Anthony Suter, big shout out, man. Also, Anthony does have a podcast. It's an absolutely great show. He's actually got a couple of interviews coming out soon with a couple of guys that are wrestlers. So check out the Smart to Death podcast, SMARK to Death. It's a great show. Those guys are down from Waco, Texas. I think they're Baylor fans, but don't hold that against them.
Well, they're from Waco, so if you're from Waco, even if you drop to Waco, you got to pull for Baylor. So
yeah, totally understandable. Totally understandable.
Yeah. Shout out to those guys, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So my main man, Mr. Mason from the MGB Wrestling Podcast. Mason is the coolest 10-year-old with a wrestling podcast that I've ever met. What about you, Ray?
I don't know any 10-year-olds with wrestling podcasts, so by default, he wins.
but yeah, him and his father have a wrestling podcast. It's called MGB Wrestling Podcast. Their question is, or Mason's question is, what, and then he put in parentheses, perhaps slightly less well-known match from the 1980s or 1990s would you recommend for a 10-year-old to watch? And then he put, Dad did not watch that era, so we tend to focus more on early 2000 for our classic matches. Before I throw this to Ray, I just want to say, Gosh darn it, Mason, making me feel old by calling matches from the early 2000 as classic? Bro.
But that's 20 years ago, dog. He's right. That's 20 years ago, man.
Oh, my God. I did not realize that. It is 20 years ago, isn't it?
No, we're old, bro.
Oh, man, that makes me feel old. That means, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Answer this question. Yeah. I'm going to go drown my sorrows. I'm just kidding. I don't drink. I'm actually, hey, dude. Thursday, 5 months clean and sober. How about that?
My man. Hey.
Yeah, dude, I appreciate that. I appreciate
awesome,
that.
Awesome, brother. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, I appreciate that, man. I randomly popped in my head, so I wanted to tell you, because you've been one of my biggest supporters about being clean and sober. Oh, so I want to tell you I appreciate it. But anyway, would you like to tell Mason a match or two from the 1980s or 90s that you would recommend?
Well, I can't talk the 80s because, unfortunately, I was born in 88. So, you know, I don't really remember that era too much.
Right.
I've gone back and watched stuff, but 90s and 2000s were kind of my years. So I wrote down four, but two of them are pretty well known, just not talked about enough.
Okay.
And two of them, very, very under the radar. So I'm going to go through them pretty quickly.
Okay.
My two well-known ones are definitely Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Shawn Michaels with Mike Tyson as the ref, main event of WrestleMania.
Good one. 14.
That is the match that I believe made WWE a household name to everybody.
Right.
Right. And another one is, and the story behind the match is great. And another one is, the other well-known one, but not talked about enough, is Rey Mysterio versus, my namesake Rey Mysterio, versus Eddie Guerrero, Halloween Havoc 97. Everybody talks about that being one of their favorite matches, but it doesn't get talked about as one of the better matches ever. Tremendous match. This is, I know I've talked about how I'm not the biggest Lucha fan. This is how, in my mind, Lucha should. This is what I want from Lucha. This match was amazing. But your two underrated matches that I guarantee you nobody else will tell you to go watch. Both WCW matches. I told you I was a WCW fan.
Right.
Triple threat match between Diamond Dallas Page, Raven, and Chris Benoit. At Uncensored 1998.
I remember that match, bro.
What I loved about this match was this was the first time I had ever seen a triple threat match that actually used all three people at the same time. Yep. Every other triple threat match, most of them, all the others I've ever seen, it's two people in the ring and then one guy comes in and they do a couple moves and then another guy and then gets thrown out of the ring and then everything they did was all three at the same time.
Yep.
Tremendous match. And those three, they feuded all year between each other. So like DDP and Raven feuded for like 3 months. And then like Raven and Benoit feuded for like 3 months. Like Benoit and DDP. It's a great match. Great feud. And this is technically two matches, but it's one segment. Slamboree 1998. Chris Jericho is the Cruiserweight champion. And there is a battle royal to see who's going to face him for the Cruiserweight championship. Literally the next match. Jericho at this time was, you know, the rock and roller, the
Ayatollah rock and roller.
Yes, and super annoying but amazingly entertaining. And he was in a very bloody feud, very brutal feud with Dean Malenko, where he had basically emasculated that man, talked about his dad, beat him all the time, and made him be so impassioned that the Iceman that he got suspended. So, in the Battle Royal, there's a wrestler named Ciclope. And Ciclope is doing pretty well. And then the final two is Ciclope versus Humberto Guerrero. And Ciclope whispers something in Humberto's ear. And he, like, looks at him. He nods his head, pats him on the chest, and jumps over the top rope himself. Ciclope wins the Battle Royal. And Ciclope actually was a wrestler there. He's just another guy. And he takes off his mask, and it's Dean Malenko. And that is one I need y'all to understand that none of this I'm about to say is hyperbole. This is some of the truest stuff I've ever said in my life. The pop that Dean Malenko got in that moment is one of the five loudest I've ever heard in wrestling.
Really?
That is one of the loudest pops I have ever heard in wrestling watching on television.
That's awesome.
And that match afterwards with Malenko finally beating Jericho. And he got stripped, of course, because he was still suspended. But just that sequence of two matches together and the story and knowing everything Jericho put Blink go through, tremendous. I guarantee you those four will give you an idea of the decade. Guarantee you.
That's awesome. I haven't seen that Dean Malenko match, man.
Oh, and that's
surprising because I'm a huge WCW guy. Because most of the matches I'm about to give you, four awesome ones and one that you have to watch because it's so bad.
Okay, I'm looking forward to the bad one.
Yeah. So, number one, it's from 1998. It's Clash of the Champions 1, and it's Ric Flair versus Sting, Mason. This is a great old school match, man. Like I said, did I say 1988? 1988
is what I meant. Hill versus the Cosmic Face, absolutely.
Absolutely. Dave Meltzer gave this match 4.75 stars. You cannot get any closer to a 5-star match than this right here. I probably would have gave it 5 stars. Absolutely phenomenal match. This made Sting. Next.
Yeah, that's the match that made him, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Next, we got WrestleMania 10, Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon in an Intercontinental title match, the ladder match. You remember this one?
I'm Intercontinental title versus I'm Intercontinental champ versus I'm Intercontinental champ. Yes. Yep.
Yeah, and... Was it only the second ladder match in WWE history, I believe?
It was first.
Was it the first?
Yeah, well, it was first in WWE history, yes.
Okay.
The great match at SummerSlam was the second, but this was the first.
Gotcha. Phenomenal match, man. It's where Shawn Michaels was WWE champion and was suspended for a while. So they said that they... Huh?
He was Intercontinental champ.
That's what I meant, Intercontinental Champion. Shawn Michaels, Intercontinental Champion, was suspended for a while. Razor Ramon becomes the new Intercontinental Champion. Shawn Michaels suddenly shows up saying he's the champ, so it's champion versus champion.
And for those of you listening, if you've ever heard people talk about how Shawn lost his smile, this was that moment. That was how they walked him off of not being on television. They said he, quote-unquote, lost his smile. This was the time.
Next, we had Bash at the Beach 1994, Hulk Hogan's first match in WCW against Ric Flair. This was surprisingly a good match, and they surprisingly went like 20 minutes, if I'm not mistaken.
I've never been a fan
of Hulk Hogan. Never, ever. I just didn't think... didn't think at all that Hulk Hogan was a good wrestler. But this match right here was so phenomenally great. Obviously, I'm not going to tell you who wins. Pretty obvious who wins, but I want you to go watch it, Mason. It's pretty awesome. Next, Bash at the Beach 1996. This was May 7th, 1996. This was the day that wrestling changed forever. It's the formation of the NWO. WCW took off after this and went on shortly after, began an 83-week consecutive winning streak against WWF. Raw is war at the time and changed wrestling forever. And this is one that you also have to watch, but not you don't have to watch this one because it's awesome like the rest of them. This is one of the worst matches I've ever seen in my life. Hollywood. Hulk Hogan versus Warrior at Halloween Havoc 1998. Do you remember this match, Ray?
Let me tell you what I remember about this match most importantly. This is the match that caused Goldberg and Diamond Dallas Page to be cut off the pay-per-view feed.
Yeah.
The World Championship match
excuse me.
was cut off because Hogan and Warrior decided to go extra.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
So I remember this match very vividly. Yes, I do.
Isn't this amazing, dude?
it's terrible. And then for the record, to remind you guys, when Warrior got signed to WCW, which, by the way, he basically robbed him blind because he got signed to some multi-million-dollar deal. I don't know why or how. Warrior probably hadn't wrestled since he left WWE. So, walk in and then Hulk, you know, God bless him, is definitely not a ring general.
No. Mason, when you watch that match, pay close attention. There is a fireball in this match, believe it or not. And
oh, that's right. Leslie threw a fireball, yeah.
Yes, and the fireball misses its target and actually singes the eyebrows of the person trying to throw the fireball. So we'll, I won't tell you how it goes down. I want you to watch them. But I verified, and all five of these matches are on the WWE Network, Mason, so check them out. I'll go over them one more time so you can make sure and have them down. Flair versus Sting, Clash of the Champions 1, WrestleMania 10, Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon, an Intercontinental Championship ladder match, Hollywood Hogan versus The Ultimate Warrior, 1998 Halloween Havoc, Bash at the Beach 1994, Hogan versus Flair in Hogan's first match in the WCW, and then Bash at the Beach 1996. It's a six-man tag where Lex Luger, the Macho Man Randy Savage, and Sting team up. All three of them got their face painted in solidarity, mind you, versus the Outsiders, Kevin Nash, and Scott Hall, and their mystery third partner who comes out right at the end of the match. It's a shock. It was a shocker at the time. I've watched the match probably twice in the last year or 18 months. Still, when I watch that match, it's unbelievable to me what happens at the end of the match. Still unbelievable to this day. So definitely check those matches out. Next question we have is from our boy Josh W., friend of the show. Josh wants to know, who is each of yours top three favorite wrestlers of all time and why? Ray, would you like to go first, my man?
Sure. So my favorite wrestler of all time is Shawn Michaels.
Good one.
And Shawn Michaels is my favorite wrestler of all time because I believe he's the greatest in-ring performer ever. I don't think I've ever seen a wrestler who... I've expressed many a time that wrestling to me, like the in-ring, the move stuff, isn't the most important thing to me. It's the story and the entertainment factor. And Shawn is the greatest ever at mixing the two. Everything Shawn did in the ring mattered. Shawn can make you feel whatever emotion he wanted you to feel just by a look. He wanted you to laugh. He could do a funny look or something like that. He wanted you to be emotional. Like, just think of all the WrestleMania moments that we've had since we were children. I guarantee you more than half of them are from Shawn Michaels. So, like, he's the reason I wanted to wrestle in the first place, was just to try to emulate him.
Absolutely.
Secondly is Eddie Guerrero. Eddie's story, what he went through, what he beat. I know personally he's a hero to you.
Absolutely.
But from a wrestling standpoint, he's probably, if Shawn's number one in that respect, I probably would put Eddie number two. You know, when they, like, as a heel, Eddie could cut a promo on a mask, which he did, by the way. This isn't hyperbole. He really did, and it could be terrifying. And then he could come out and just laugh and joke with you for 20 minutes, and then it'd be great. But Eddie was amazing. And thirdly, The Shield.
Good one.
So, and this is a legitimate 1, 2, 3 in my mind, in my heart. This is part of the reason why I defend Roman so much, because I'm such a big Shield fan. But Dean, Seth, and Roman, what those guys did, they changed wrestling, to me, in my opinion, to a certain extent. Because number one, they were a group of rookies, and yes, Seth and Dean were rookies to the WWE.
They were. I agree.
They were rookies to the WWE.
Yep.
And never has a group of rookies, not the next is nobody, has a group of rookies been treated with the reverence they were treated with, be given what those guys were given, beat the guys they beat, and had, more importantly, had the clout to tell management, we ain't gonna do this. You know, they truly changed things in their locker room, and a lot of this change you see now started with the Shield. You know, a lot of these a lot of this openness and willingness to try different things, and NXT becoming big. Well, the crown jewel of NXT was Seth Rollins, so like a lot of it started with them, and they did one of the few things that I think it's not many people can redefine a match type. Right,
Right.
You know, certain match types are old or played out, or you see them and you roll your eyes, right? The Shield made six-man tags interesting again in WWE.
Absolutely.
Like they were wrestling main event, and they would wrestle Christian, somebody and somebody. You had to watch, because it was great. So, and what I loved about them and their, and as a stable, is I've never seen a stable work more in concert than those guys. And that goes, that's even more than the Horsemen. But they would sacrifice themselves for each other. Everything they did was for each other. The Night of Champions, I want to say, was Night of Champions 2014.
Right.
Or maybe it was 2015, whatever it was, which was the night that they won the championship, that they all won titles. Dean beat Kofi for the United States Championship. Roman and Seth beat Team Hell No for the Tag Team Championships. To see them when Dean won and Roman and Seth run in and grab him and the joy in their eyes, and vice versa when Roman and Seth won and Dean came, you could tell that this wasn't just an act, dog. This wasn't just for television. Like, when Roman calls Dean and Seth his brothers, those guys treat each other like they're brothers. It's like Colby Lopez and Jonathan Good are an extended part of the Anoy family now.
Right.
Like, it's real. And you could see that on screen, which translated to why their matches were so tremendous and why, consequently, their matches with each other were so tremendous. I mean, the best Lumberjack match of all time, Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose. The best Hell in a Cell match we've seen since you know, it became PG, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Like, these guys are such a huge part of the business now that they've redefined what we know as WWE, all three of these guys. So, that's my three.
It's a good, man, that's a good three. That's a Thank that's you. Good. That's really good. Absolutely.
We already know your favorite. We know your favorite because he starts the show.
Oh, man. Real quick, we're going to give an honorable mention, and that is to Asuka. Asuka has not been on my radar for very long because I have not known too much about Japanese wrestling until recently. But Asuka has helped redefine women's wrestling in the WWE. She's phenomenal. She's amazing in the ring, and she is, I mean, you just can't, it's hard for me to put into words everything that she has done for wrestling as a whole. So, honorable mention to Asuka. I'm going to go from number three to number one. So, number three is Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega, I have to give all the credit in the world to introducing me to independent wrestling and Japanese wrestling. I did not really venture away from the WWE until Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho had all their hype going on for Wrestle Kingdom 12, and I made sure to tune in to watch Wrestle Kingdom 12, so it was absolutely phenomenal. Since then, I've tried to follow Kenny Omega as close as I possibly can. I've watched as much stuff with him from the past prior to Wrestle Kingdom 12, when he was in the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Division, when he was the first time when he was teaming up with Kota Ibushi, all that stuff. Kenny Omega is one of the best wrestlers of our generation. It's very hard for anyone to disagree with that, in my opinion. Now, people might not think he's the best of our generation, but he's got to be up there in the top five.
Is he your top three of all time?
Kenny Omega, yeah. Yeah, absolutely, wow. Man. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Number two, this one's actually going to surprise you. So, number two, actually.
You surprised me with Kenny Omega.
No. Well, this guy almost made my number one, and that's because he starts the show. It's Ric Flair. Ric Flair is actually my number two, bro.
Oh, my goodness. I am surprised.
So, Ric Flair, Mason, I have to look this up because I forgot that I was going to mention this, so I didn't look it up. But there was a Nitro after Eric Bischoff suspended Ric Flair. Ric Flair was suspended for 6 months. He was supposed to show up on a WCW Nitro, which was WCW's version of SmackDown. It was
Monday Night
the when
Monday Night Raw.
Huh?
It was their version of Monday Night Raw Nitro.
No, WCW Thunder. Did I say Nitro? I meant WCW Thunder. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah. Thunder was SmackDown, yes, you're right.
I apologize. Yeah, Thunder was kind of their B show. SmackDown is kind of held on the same level as Raw now, but the original Nitro that me and... their original SmackDown that me and Ray remember was kind of a B show for a while. Yeah. Anyway, Ric Flair was supposed to show up on an episode of Thunder. He was told on like Sunday that he had to be there on Tuesday. He said he wasn't going. He didn't show up. So, you know, in IRL, Bischoff fires Ric Flair. Lawsuits are going. Anyway, he's not on TV for about 6 months. Well, they announced 2 weeks before they go to Greensboro, South Carolina,
North Carolina,
that the Four Horsemen, which in my eyes is one of the greatest factions in wrestling history, is getting back together in Greensboro, which is Flair country. So Arn Anderson, he introduces some of the new horsemen, and he gets out there, and this crowd is absolutely hot. And so everyone's in there but Ric Flair, and he starts talking like this is everyone that's going to come out. And all of a sudden he goes, oh my God, I almost forgot. You know, doctor, he knocks on his head like a piece of wood, and he's like, doctors have kind of accused me of having a bit of Alzheimer's. I almost forgot the Fourth Horseman. Ric Flair, come on down here. And, dude, I have never heard a freaking crowd in unison get that loud before in my life. In my life, it was absolutely phenomenal. Ric Flair comes out crying. He hasn't wrestled in 6-8 months. He didn't know if he was ever going to get to wrestle again. He's had problems with confidence and stuff. So he was not 100% sure what was going to happen, and he got the biggest reaction, the best reaction he could have ever hoped for. He came out crying. Anyway, it was just absolutely phenomenal. If I remember right, Ric Flair has got 9 5-star matches, according to Dave Meltzer, if I'm not mistaken. That is absolutely insane. 9 5-star matches.
You say that, but Kenny Omega might have 9 in the past 2 years.
That's true. And Ric Flair, I do believe that he's actually a 21-time World Heavyweight Champion, but only 16 of them are recognized by the WWE. But my number one, he's just as much my favorite wrestler as he is one of my favorite human beings on a personal level, and that is CM Punk. CM Punk, I have had problems with alcoholism and addiction in the past, and I used to watch wrestling, and CM Punk would be playing his heel character, and he'd be out there talking about, well, I'm straight edge. I don't need drugs. I don't need tobacco. I don't need alcohol. I don't need anything like that because I'm straight edge. I don't live that lifestyle. And I used to really, really look up to CM Punk when I was deep off in my addiction of my pain pill addiction. And my desire to want to live like CM Punk actually got me thinking about rehab, ultimately got me checked into rehab and helped me get sober. And I've lived my life sober ever since. So I really look up to CM Punk on a personal level. And I'm not supposed to be cussing, so I do apologize, but CM Punk's an asshole. He says what he wants to say. He says what he feels is the truth. He doesn't lie about anything, and he doesn't sugarcoat anything. I absolutely love that in a human being. I would rather someone be straight up to me than sugarcoat anything. And then on top of that, the dude is one phenomenal wrestler. And I'll give you another match, Mason. Since you better be still listening to this show, Mason, and not already checking out those matches that me and Ray got you. Money in the Bank 2011, John Cena versus CM Punk, one of the best matches ever, 5-star match, was held in Chicago, another one of the hottest crowds ever. So, those are my three. Kenny Omega, Ric Flair, CM Punk, three of the best wrestlers of all time in my eyes. Great question, Josh. Thank you for giving us a question for Mailbag Monday. Next question is from Kelsey. Super kicking it with Kelsey. She's got a great YouTube channel. Yes. Go check out Super Kicking It with Kelsey. She's got her own YouTube channel. She's on Patreon now, Super Kicking It with Kelsey. And she's got Two-Faced Wrestling, which is her wrestling podcast. Phenomenal show as well. She's an awesome lady. Her question is, if you couldn't watch WWE or NXT another day in your life, which promotion would become your new main go-to promotion to watch religiously? Ray, why don't you take this one first, buddy?
Oh, so before we got on the air, I literally wrote down all my answers to this just in case I forgot.
Right.
Early in all this. And for this answer, I put question mark, question mark, question mark. I am a WWE fan. This is the way I equate this. And Kelsey, I love you. You're amazing. So forgive me for giving this as a cop out, but I look at it like this. I love WWE just like I'm a basketball fan. I love the NBA, or I'm a football fan. I love NFL. Everything else, while it could be just as good, is not the same. So I don't know if I'd watch anything religiously. I try to find something that interests me, but I'm a WWE fan. New Japan's the closest, but I don't enjoy the stories they tell. Ring of Honor, they tell decent stories, but I don't like their booking. Impact Wrestling is, I've gone over them enough. So, you know, I don't know how to answer that question. I really don't. I guess I would hope that the McMahons would find another company to build. And I hate to sound like a WWE shill. I'm not trying to, but that's what I enjoy. You know, like I enjoy those other companies in spurts, right? Like I know for a fact I could never watch New Japan consistently because I'll pull my hair out from the amount of tag matches they have that mean nothing. It'll drive me crazy. And I'm not saying it's bad. It's just to me, it just gets a bit too much. So I don't know if gun in my head, I guess the closest thing I would say is Ring of Honor.
That's a good one. It's a good one.
But I wouldn't watch it regularly.
Yeah, I could. I could see that. WWE is. I mean, they've got the market cornered when it comes to just. Lots of storylines, a good amount of in-ring work on free TV each week. They have the pageantry. You know, it's hard to top that. You know, what New Japan does at Wrestle Kingdom every year, where they have the big screen and they have, the confetti flying and all that. For the most part, WWE does that every single day. You know, at least twice a week on TV with SmackDown and Raw. So it's hard to compare, you know?
Right. And I mean, I hate to, I know it sounds like a broken record, but I really want to establish to people that listen that the in-ring aspect of professional wrestling is the least most important to me as a fan.
Right.
So seeing a tremendous, great match between Toru Yano and Tai Chi, cool. They don't do nothing for me if there's no reason why I'm watching them wrestle.
Right.
Which is why WWE, and I want to clear up. Yes, I love WWE, but I've been very honest about me being a bigger WCW fan at the time. So it's not that I have to watch WWE. It's that WWE is the promotion that gives me the most of what I want as a fan.
Right.
Right? They give me the most variety. They give me the more interesting characters. They give me, in my opinion, I realize I'm probably going to be on the downturn, the better storylines, the storylines that I like, and they value the things that I value the most as a wrestling fan. So if it was, instead of WWE, if it was TTM, I would say them. It's not that I'm trying to stick up for WWE. That's just a company that gives me everything I want. If Ring of Honor could do that, then it'd be Ring of Honor, but they haven't done it.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I didn't want it to sound like I'm on the payroll. I've been told, joking, ha ha ha, that I'm on the payroll.
I got you. No. I'm going to watch whatever promotion gives me Mae Young giving birth to Mark Henry's hand, bar none. Period.
There you go.
No, I'm just kidding. But hey, well, I remember watching that, and I thought that was the funniest thing ever. What did you think of that, real quick? Whenever that happened,
that was hilarious.
Yeah, same. Me too. Yeah, I was confused and happy and just all these things mixed into one. It was great. I would say my homegirl Kelsey, but which, by the way, I mentioned that she's on Patreon. I am a $5 patron of Kelsey, so everyone should go do the same. Love super kicking it with Kelsey. She gives she puts a video up almost every single day. Phenomenal. She interviewed Dave Meltzer.
That's so cool
to me. Dave freaking Meltzer.
She gets all the big interviews, yeah.
That's so cool to me. Real quick, for me, it would be New Japan.
Okay.
And I have spoke, you know, very candidly multiple times about the fact that I am a new Japan fan, and I've tried to get in, or I am getting into it slowly but surely. But WWE is, you know, my number one. And that would be the other TV promotion that I would get into and watch religiously, and that's because of the in-ring programming that they have, the 5-star, the 6.25-star matches that they have.
Oh boy!
Now, I don't think there's a promotion out there, and you've already touched on this, so I'm not going to really touch on it a whole much, but there's not a promotion out there on TV right now that can carry on the amount of storylines that WWE puts out. WWE has got it cornered in production value and in storylines. It's absolutely phenomenal. They don't always give every fan what they want, but if you think about it, there's no I guarantee you WWE gets closer to giving wrestling fans as a whole what they want more so than any other promotion out there. We complain about WWE more than anything. That's because more people are watching WWE than any other promotion. So,
and by the way, just to add to that, there's a reason more people watch WWE than anybody. Like, we forget that.
Yeah.
I don't need to go any further into that. We forget there's a reason that they got more viewers than anybody else. Double the viewers than everybody else.
Absolutely. Sorry, I'm losing my voice here. But it would definitely be New Japan. And that would be because it's kind of different than WWE, but it's, I don't know. Like, it would just be, I feel like to me that if I'm not going to watch WWE, then I want to go watch something that's fairly different with less storylines and more focus on the in-ring, where in WWE there's a little bit less focus on in-ring capabilities and more on storylines. So it's like the best of both worlds if you can catch both promotions, you know?
I got you, Jordan. If I weren't going to watch WWE anymore, I'd watch World Class Revolution Pro Wrestling.
That's what I was about to say next, bro.
Live,
yeah,
in Kansas and Missouri.
Yep, that's right, on KTNL, boy. That's what I was about to say, is World Class Revolution that will be on TV starting June 2nd in the Joplin, Missouri area on Saturday nights, immediately following Saturday Night Live. If you listen to the World Class Weekly show I did with Jerry about 3 weeks ago now, we did a 3.5-hour interview, and one of the things that Jerry Bostic said was that he wants to bring that old school 80s style of wrestling back, in the sense that big characters with funny, cool storylines getting it on in the ring. And that's really cool, man. So y'all check it out. World Class Revolution on Saturday. Saturday nights, following Saturday Night Live on NBC on KTNL affiliate, which is in the Joplin, Missouri area. There's my plug. Last question before we go, and any questions that we didn't answer, which I think there's 7 questions that we weren't able to get to.
Oh yeah, man, I got them all written down. Oh,
okay. but we're gonna have to go here pretty quick, so we'll catch all the questions next Monday, and I'll put another tweet out, another couple of tweets between now and then, so we can build up some more questions for that as well. Last questions, our friend from across the way, Darren, and he wants to know what motivated you to start podcasting. Ray, take it away, my man.
Tired of writing. I was just tired. I've been writing since 2010. Tired of writing. And then I've had some bad situations in my writing career. So it was I don't want to say easier medium, but it seemed more catered for my voice. I seem to be a person who has dissenting opinions a lot. So it's sometimes easier to express those opinions in conversations with people through voice, through actual conversations than through a column. And I still write. I still enjoy that medium, but I've fallen in love with podcasting and radio.
Right.
Yeah, but literally just I was tired of the writing medium. I needed something different.
I don't blame you a bit. So, when it comes to me on podcasting, I have talked about this a few times before. I actually started podcasting as a way to help me deal with my newfound sobriety. I had gotten out of rehab. I was fighting my addiction really, really bad, and I wanted a way to vent and to talk about wrestling with people. I wanted to meet new people outside of my small world I had, where, you know, I was taking excessive amount of pain pills and drinking alcohol. And I met the wonderful guys over at socialsuplex.com, the Social Suplex Podcast Network, Jeremy Donovan, Ray was a part of that group, Caleb Baldwin with the Wrestling Wash, just a whole bunch of cool guys, and started my podcast. I've had several of those guys on the show since, and it has blossomed into mine and Ray's job now. So it worked out really well, but it has helped in my sobriety quite a bit. But that's why I started the show, and I would say it's a success, wouldn't you, Ray?
I could not see it. Well, just... Let me speak on your behalf. Let me big you up for a second.
Yeah.
You're a man who 5 months ago was on the brink of addiction. And here we are now 5 months later. And you work for a professional wrestling company as a publicist and being trained as a commentator. A company which, by the way, has just signed a TV deal, which is working on becoming fully national. You also have a very popular morning show podcast. You also, with that podcast, have started working for thechairshot.com in some capacity. So a guy 5 months ago who could have lost everything in his life, you're doing great. So yes, I could not be prouder of you. I could not be happier for you. Yeah, man. So, like, you're living the dream, literally. You're living the dream. People, you're talking about how you look up to Punk. People should look up to you, dog. Because, you know, I respect Punk for his views and his values, but it's easier to have those values when you've never done them. You've lived that life. And here you are, out of it, better, helping others, and doing big things in your life, man. So shout out to you, man.
Man, I really appreciate that, man. You, honest to God, you brought me to tears with that, man. I truly appreciate that. That means the world to me that you'd say that.
It's the truth.
Yeah,
absolute
man.
Absolute truth.
I appreciate it, and I would not want to be on this journey with anyone besides you, man. I know I've told you several times on the show and off. There's nobody else that I'd rather be on the air with every single morning, talking about wrestling, us complaining about wrestling, every once in a while giving wrestling props, man. But seriously, I really appreciate those words, man. Like I said, I had tears streaming down my face, you know. So I truly appreciate that very much.
I'm telling you, bro, if Carmelo calls you today and was like, "Hey, get rid of Ray and put me on the show," I'd be on the unemployment line, dog. I know what it is. It's all good.
Not in a million years, bro. Not in a million years. All right, guys. Thank y'all for tuning in. We appreciate it so, so very much. Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter. Ray is at It's Ray Cash. I am at Fox the Podcaster. And the show is at World Class Daily. That's at World Class Daily. Anything else, Ray, before we go?
I should have a column up, if not tonight, tomorrow.
Sweet, man.
Gutshot.com. Check it out.
Absolutely.
It's gonna be slightly controversial, but it's gonna speak to the past week in professional wrestling, particularly Mr. Dave Meltzer.
I'm interested in that already. Anything with Meltzer's name on it, good or bad, for some reason I'm just infatuated with it and I have to read it.
It's interesting. He's more interesting than most of the people he covers. That's the funny thing about it.
Yeah, good or bad. Like, I love reading columns about people that love Meltzer and live by his words, and people that can't stand to even hear Dave Meltzer's name. So I love to read both. I love to read both views. As soon as that article drops, we will pin it to the top of the, our Twitter, what is that, like our Twitter page. At the top of our Twitter page, his article will be pinned, so be on the lookout for that. We'll tweet it out. Thank y'all very, very much for tuning in. Our show has grown so much since we got on the Chair Shot Radio Network. So we want to thank PC Tunney and Greg DeMarco up at ChairShot. Thank y'all for the opportunity you've given both of us. Thank you for the opportunity you've given me in hiring me and letting me work on the radio station. We can't thank y'all enough. We want to thank World Class Revolution, our number one sponsor, our best friends, Jerry the Boss Bostic, Bri Willingham. We love y'all very, very, very much, very much. For Ray and myself, we want everyone out there to stay strong and too sweet.
Hey baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?